you. We've been friends with the Massaros through the years. We go back about a dozen years or so, and have appreciated them. So it's always a privilege to be here for that reason, to see them and to see the ministry. Now, we scheduled coming over here in February. So, you know, we talked about this. I'm aware we live by Horseheads, Elmira, which is an area, for some reason, we don't get a lot of snow there. The storms pass us on the west side, and they go across to Syracuse and all that. And then some come up the coast, these nor'easters, and they go as far as Binghamton. We tend to not have very much snow. So I'm thinking, yeah, okay, February out in Dunkirk, you know. I was in Marilla 2 weeks ago, and I was even thinking about that. We have a church up in Messina. Do you know where Messina is? Anybody know where Messina is? Up there on the St. Lawrence. And basically, the pastor there, Colin, says to me, look, we want to have you come up sometime, talk about the ministry and preach and share. He says, but not till April, if you don't mind. You know, we'll do it in April because they have perpetual snow, deep snow on the ground. I have a favorite story, though. There's a woman, true story. There was a woman that had moved up from the Carolinas into one of these small towns in upstate New York where they, you know, she wasn't really ready for the snow and all that kind of thing. So they had a pretty significant snow, but her husband cleared the driveway and she wanted to run into town to get something. But on the way backing out of the driveway, she went into the ditch. So she called. They only have one small town. They have one garage where they have a tow truck. She called the guy. He came and pulled her out. She goes into town, and they had piled some snow up in front of a shopping center type of thing, and she went too far and got up onto the snow. And she called the same guy, and she said, will you, you know, come and help me out? And so, I mean, he's the only guy. If there had been two, she might have gone to the other garage. But he came, pulled her out. She's on her way home. There's a big curve right before the house. And somehow she didn't negotiate the curve and went off the side of the road. So she called the same guy. And he came and pulled her out. This is getting expensive, isn't it? Pulled her out. And she got home later that night, sitting with her husband after dinner. The phone rings. And the husband answers it, and he says, you know, it's the garage guy. He wants to know if he can put the tow truck away for the night, you know. Well, some of those experiences when you guys are used to it out here. When I think about my friends in Erie and along this track, you know, you're used to all of that. But it's great to be with you. It's a beautiful day out there. And a nice drive over. We came from the Binghamton area last night and got close to here and then drove in, so it's always a privilege. I'm the executive director of the Northeast Fellowship, which is a network of about 175 churches in this region. We now extend down into Pennsylvania. We added our first Pennsylvania church a couple years ago, when we changed our name. We used to be the Empire State Fellowship, but that meant you had to be in New York, and there's some churches on our borders that have an interest in fellowship with us. We are a non-coercive church support entity that brings churches together, all independent churches, brings them together to strengthen and support one another. That's really what we're about. We have a mission. Our mission is the spread of the gospel in this region through healthy local churches. So our track is that we're trying to encourage churches to be healthy. And we have healthy churches in small hamlets throughout this region, and we have some in suburbia, and we have some in the towns. We added a church a year or so ago, a storefront church in Queens, New York City, of Filipino believers. Their whole church facility as a storefront is probably like this section of pew, and there's a door at that end. It actually may not even be, Gene, it may not be that wide. But they pack 80 people into there, and when everybody gets in, nobody's moving. You know, but they sing. The Filipino people are very expressive in music. They're kind of all talented in music. So we just have a great time. So in the city, up in Messina, and all places in between, our churches. And you have been part of that for a number of years. I forgot to look up when it all started, but we've had opportunity to fellowship with you at First here in Dunkirk for a long time. So I wanted to be here to, again, share a little bit about the network. So I hope you'll stay for Sunday school, adults and teens or whatever. We're going to be there. And I'm going to share some things that have happened since I was here last by way of ministry. I didn't share for the installation time when I was here, but believe it or not, when Bob Gage was here, it was like in 2012. That's the last time I kind of give you an overview of the ministry, so I hope you're looking forward to that. Before I share the word, I did want to have you just, do I have to point this in a direction? Oh, is it on? Sorry, yeah. Okay, let me see. I'm going the wrong way. Current events, there I am. Okay, sorry. You know what? Look at me. I'm technologically challenged. So that I've just verified it. I want to talk to you a little bit about the activities of the network that are coming up. I want you to know the kind of things we do. And, of course, every church decides the level of their involvement. There's no pressure from us, but we have opportunities. Remember, all that we do to contribute to church health, trying to help churches be as strong as they can be to reach their communities, and you got a great opportunity here as well. We just had this weekend the Men's Adventure, which is an annual men's Bible conference, and I took some pictures on my phone. We had a great group of guys. Several hundred were there, and it's just men for challenged spiritually. And it's really been a blessing in many ways. We just had it this weekend. We came from there yesterday. And then we do have ongoing education opportunities for pastors. I'm just going to move quickly through that. We have a counseling practicum as well. Practicums are small group learning opportunities. There's a curriculum, but it's also real informal, that it's kind of an interactive type of thing. We just added a year or so ago organizational reset, which is administrative leadership in a church for pastors. And these are monthly classes that we offer. Just want you to know we do that. Coming up is the youth seminars. Last year we had 800 teens in 5 locations across the region, all the same weekend. So this is going on across the state. These are the locations, and notice there's one in Marilla. That's probably the closest to you. How far are you guys from Marilla? Not too far, right? Is it a half hour, maybe a little bit more? But anyway, there's a really good leadership there. With Zach Dawson, who gives leadership. He's one of the associates in that church. So that's coming up. And then we take an annual trip to Sight and Sound in Lancaster. How many people have been? That's the distance for you. But look at all these people that have been there, Jeannie. Wow, it's a drive from here, I would assume. We go out of Binghamton with charter buses. We're taking 2 charter buses down to Esther on March 31st. There's still a few seats left. There are people from the west and from up north. We have people above Syracuse that drive down and then leave the rest of the driving to us. They come down the night before, and then they meet us. We leave in the morning. It's an all-day thing, and we rent these buses, and then we go to a smorgasbord, and then we go to the event, and then we come home. So it's a long day. But it's really a great experience, as you know. You've seen them. It's a really wonderful opportunity. And then Serve Boldly. I was talking to Pastor Mark about this. This is a new event in the last couple of years. It's one of our fastest growing training events. Notice it says volunteer training. And what that is a conference that's workshop driven for all of you. It's not really meant to help pastors. We have some things for pastors because they bring their people. But primarily, this is for volunteer leaders in the church. So if you're a Sunday school teacher or a youth worker, men's and women's ministry, tech people, worship leaders, we have training in all these areas. 30 workshops. You choose from 6. You know, you choose 6 during the day. There is no preaching session. It's all about workshops and training on a Saturday all day long. And we bring in some teachers, some practitioners who are really sharp in their area of expertise to help people who serve in our churches. So that's a great event that is well attended. It is coming up in April, the last Saturday in April. And I want to encourage you about getting involved in some of these things. We have deacon forums, which are training events for deacon teams, levels 1 and 2. Level 1 is an overview of what the deaconate is about and how that's handled and some best practices, suggestions. Level 2 deals with a little more, some of the more difficult stuff, working through church discipline with your pastor, understanding strategic planning. So it's kind of a second level of training. These are Saturday workshops that last about 4 hours or so on Saturdays at the ministry center. And then I'm almost done here. Choose Joy is our women's event that Jeannie has led through these years. It's now called Renew. It used to be called the Ladies Advance. Now it's called Renew. It's held every year in September. It's very reasonably priced. You do have to find your own overnight housing. But it's a Friday evening to Saturday mid-afternoon event, which has been really popular. Last year we had, I think we had over 400 ladies there last year. And it's been growing every year. Have any of you, any ladies come to that ladies event? Okay, someone back here. Yeah, I want to encourage you about being involved. All these things are a long ride for you if they're in Central State. But think about it this way. We do have some people coming from New York City about 4 hours. And we have some from up north that, you know, so we're trying to centralize some things so that people can come, and I realize it's a distance for you. Listen, it's worth your drive. That's what I would say. And then we have a Bible conference coming up in Memphis, which is by Syracuse. It's west. It's like Camillus, west of Syracuse. It's called NF Next this year. That's the theme, NF Next, which has to do with the future. So I probably wasted too much time on that, but I wanted you to, as a congregation, to see some of these events that you're able to get involved in. If you would, take your copy of the scripture. We're going to go back to the passage that was read, and we want to talk about this theme, or have you look with me at this theme related to just God's help in hard times from this particular psalm, Psalm 46. Now, I'm certain that this is a familiar psalm to you. You know, much of this, you probably, if you've been in churches for a while, you've memorized some of this. You understand some of the themes that are highlighted. I want to focus on just verse 1. Let me read it again. You have your copy in front of you. Psalm 46 and verse 1 reads, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, it's easy to know what the theme is of this verse because it's the first word. What's the first word in your text? God. So there's some things that are going to be said about God in this text, but there's a context. The context for what we're going to understand about God in this verse is highlighted in my text, my translation, in the last word. What's the last word in your copy of the scripture there? Mine is the word trouble. The word trouble. Now, it's interesting. There's a reminder here of the reality of the fact that we face trouble. In the Hebrew here, it's a word that talks about being in a tight spot, about being pressured. It's not uncommon in the Old Testament. Speaking of difficult time, pressure times, you know, there's some interesting statements even in the book of Job. They come to my mind when I think about trouble. When Eliphaz gave the advice to Job, he said, you know, mankind is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. Surely as the flame has, the sparks fly up from a fire, there is the reality of trouble. Job himself described life later on in the book of Job. You know what he said? He described it as few of days and full of trouble. So my question is, you having any trouble today? How about trouble for you? Squeezed? I see people. I pastored for 30 years. I'd get ready to preach or we're getting the service started. I see people come in and they sit down, sometimes with a big sigh, like I made it, especially if you have kids you get ready and all that, and you come to church and Maybe you have a heavy heart about something. Maybe you got some trouble going on in your life. Something about your health, something about your family or relationships, about your finances and your job. How you doing? What's your struggle? I love another story about the woman that had four little kids. She was no longer married, so she's taking care of these kids, you know, all little ones. And they had in this church choir practice before the service. And she was always there with her little ones, a little rumpled, but they were all dressed and looking good. And she'd come in with her kids. Someone said, how do you do this? You know, you're by yourself. You're bringing these little ones, coming early. What? She says, I dress them the night before. You know what? We have five children. They're all, of course, adult children. We just never thought of that. That's such a great idea. You know, anyway, so maybe you come in today and you're feeling pressured. I want you to understand that the word trouble here can be understood in the context of the next two verses, where we already had these read, but notice, though the earth should change, the mountains slip into... This is trouble with a capital T. So here's the summary. This is a verse that tells us some things about God that we ought to keep in mind in the midst of our trouble. So if you're facing any trouble today, here's some encouragement from God's word as it relates to God. Some things to remember about God. That's what this verse is about. In the light of the troubles that are a reality for all of us, certainly in many ways. So let's talk about them. First of all, the word refuge reminds us of God's protection. Because that's how it begins. God is our refuge, a very common word in the Psalter, in the Psalms, a reference to refuge. It's a word that speaks to a place of safety, a place of protection, a place where we can find strength and help in the midst of our trials and troubles. Commonly, as I said, it's referenced. And by the way, we had the reading of Psalm 46. Did you notice that the word refuge appears several times in the text? You can glance down and you can see some of these throughout. Actually, in this psalm, there are a couple different words in the original that are translated refuge, but they all have that same emphasis. Do you know what it is, really? It's a reference to a hiding place. A place of refuge, a place where we can go for protection. The picture is often in the Old Testament. I'm going to move quickly here in the light of the time, but often in the Old Testament, there were references to refuge from enemy armies. The term is used of a place of safety when you're fleeing an enemy. Cities in Bible times had walls, and one of the benefits of having a walled city is if there was an attack that's imminent, you go into the city and you shut the gates and you have a place of safety and protection. That's also a picture of storms and difficulties in life. There's a place of safety. God can be your place of safety in the midst of the trials and the troubles of your life. In fact, that old hymn, A Shelter in the Time of Storm, is really built on this theme, this verse. A shelter in the time of storm. Here's the neat thing before I pass on to the second thing. You know what's neat about this, what I'm encouraged about this, as it relates to this, is God doesn't always take the storm away. The trial. You know, when I have difficulty and I have trials, I'm asking God to remove it. Are you? That's what I do. God, please. Because pain isn't pleasant. It's real. And our struggles and difficulties are a reality. My first prayer is often, God, can you take this away? Sometimes God wants us to go through those valleys and through those storms and through those difficulties, because that's how he sharpens us. That's how he strengthens us. That's how he helps us. It isn't always taking it away, but in the midst of the storm, we have God's protection. This is a great promise. of God's protection in difficult times. So we could say more about that, but this is an important theme. If you have concordance, or if you have Blue Letter Bible on your phone, or look up all the references to God as a refuge in the Scripture. If you're taking notes, jot down Psalm 60. Oh, I think I wrote it down here. Psalm 62, verses 7 and 8. It parallels this same theme about God's protection. But we need to move on. Here's another one. God's strength. So it says God is our refuge, and then our strength. This is, again, this is another common word for power and strength. And I think of passages in the Scripture about God's strength and what it can mean to us and for us. And this is one I know that you're familiar with yourself. But can I, when I think about this theme, I think about Genesis 17. Would you mind just looking there real fast? Genesis 17. This is one of the promises with regard to the Abrahamic covenant that God gives to Abraham. And you know, the Abrahamic covenant promise is emphasized more than once in these opening chapters of Genesis. You see the initiation of this in Genesis 12, then there's a reference to it in chapter 15, and now here in 17, if you just look at verse 2, for example, Genesis 17, I will establish my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. You shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall you be called Abraham or Abram, because your name will be Abraham, for I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. He's repeating the promise about his seed. He had spoken earlier about the land and the promises, which, by the way, have not been abrogated. I think there's a future for Israel. I mean, how can you read Romans 9 through 11 and not pick this up? But God has a plan for Israel, and he will fulfill his promises. And these promises have not been set aside or applied to the church, at least in the full picture of the study of Scripture. We believe that there's a promise about this land for Israel in the future. God's making that happen, isn't he? In a lot of ways. But here's Abraham. Why was this a challenging promise? You remember why, right? Because Abraham is approaching 100 years old. He doesn't have seed. This is probably pretty difficult for him to hear. We know it was. Remember the laughing accounts. Abraham, hard to believe as an older guy, it's going to happen. Sarah laughed too, about God's promises. God's promise. Boy, it must have been hard for him to understand, and you could read some more about it right here. But you know what? I didn't read verse 1. You probably noticed that. If you go back to verse 1, it says he was 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai, the Mighty One. So it's in the context. You know, we have this promise about these things, and he begins by saying, do you know who I am? I'm the Almighty God. That puts it in context, doesn't it? In the midst of our trials and our in the midst of our difficulties, we have an Almighty God. This is a title of God that emphasizes his power and his strength. And in the midst of whatever trouble you're facing, if you're in God's family, I hope you're in God's family. You know, we're part of God's family by faith in Jesus Christ, Paul said to the Galatians. You are children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. I hope you put your faith in Jesus Christ. That the point action time, you believed in Jesus as your Savior, then part of God's family, and you have God within, and he's the Almighty God, El Shaddai. Well, that's the promise right there in context. It makes all the difference. Abraham, as challenging as this promise might be in his thinking, he's the Almighty God. God provides strength to his people, you and me. in the midst of trial and trouble. God gives us strength. The key to that is staying plugged into God and growing in your relationship with God, spending time in His Word. Strengthen me. What did the psalmist say? I think it's 119. The psalmist wrote, strengthen me according to your word. Getting in the scripture, the strength of other believers, the strength of a good church family helps us. Years ago, I read that story about purchasing a refrigerator. Tony Evans, you know, I heard him speak at Moody Pastors Conference once, and he was talking about buying a real expensive refrigerator. Actually, he was talking about someone who had done that. You know, you can pay. We just replaced a refrigerator in the ministry center, the parsonage where we live. You can pay thousands of dollars if you want all the bells and whistles. You know, it has all these things in the door. It even fries eggs now, and I mean, you got. Okay, maybe not. But, I mean, it's got a lot of things that you can do in a refrigerator. So you can pay a lot of money, and this guy bought a $3,000, you know, refrigerator. It had to look right, fit in the space, and have all those special things. And he bought it at Sears, and they were going to deliver it that day. So on the way home, they stopped and bought some staples like chocolate ice cream and some vegetables and things. So they put that in the refrigerator, went to bed at night, got up in the morning, and when they got there in the morning, there's a puddle of melted ice cream on the floor. So, look, this guy, he said, sold us a dud, and I'm going to call that salesman and give him a piece of my mind. So he calls the Sears store and gets the salesman, and he said, this thing ruined our vegetables and some other things all over the kitchen floor. What are you going to do about it? So he says, well, look, open the door and see if the light comes on. And he opens the door. No light. So he says, well, put your ear to the side of the refrigerator and tell me if there's a hum. No hum. So he says, well, pull it away from the wall and see if it's plugged in. He pulls it away, and sure enough, it wasn't plugged in. But he says to the salesman, he says, look, I paid $3,000 for this. It should work if it's plugged in or not. So what does the salesman say to him? The salesman said, well, you got to know something about refrigerators and appliances. In order for them to work and appreciate the electricity that's the foundation, you have to plug them in. They have to be plugged in to a power source. Even if you spend a lot of money, even if you have all these bells and whistles, even all these special things, it's got to be plugged in. You know, for Christians, we have the power of God available to us, but we got to stay plugged in. That's why it's so important to walk with God and be in His Word and understand the strength from other believers, and God's Spirit works through those avenues in our lives to strengthen us in the midst of trouble. You know, you're in trouble, don't run from God. People run from God when they're in trouble. They're having difficulties and problems, and they kind of get mad at God, and they... No, this is a time to draw close to God and gain strength from God. Because God is our refuge and strength. There's one more point here. One more thing to think about. Where did I leave my Bible down there? Okay, one more thing. Here it is. God's presence. He also says the psalmist writes, He's a very present help in trouble. Now, I don't want to say a lot about this. We don't have time to just dwell on this. I see the time, but... this is an important truth. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you have the promise of God within. Holy Spirit dwelling within you. And you know the Bible teaches that you have the indwelling Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in your life. You are not alone. And that's a huge thing when you think about trouble. You're not dealing with your troubles alone. You have a very present. The phraseology here in the original language of this text, the Hebrew, it's the word for presence with a prefix that intensifies it. So it's almost like he's saying, now it says in the text up here, a very present help. It could be, he could be saying, you know, he is definitely present. He is really present. It's a way of saying he's present and affirming it with some strength. So he's wanting us to understand God's presence, but it's a strong emphasis upon the fact that he's there with you. People have asked me through the years, and when I first met the Massaros, I had come out of my last pastorate. I'd finished the 30 years, and I was invited to be involved in a ministry of consulting and helping churches. But people ask me all the time, you know, what do you miss about pastoring? Well, there's a ton of things, if you want me to be honest about that. But one of the weird things that people think it's weird is, you know, I kind of miss being in a hospital with somebody before surgery. You know, the times when you're with families at a time of need and you feel like you're really helping them. And often before surgery in a hospital, I'd pray with somebody. Maybe they're about ready to be wheeled in for surgery. And I often reminded them, you know what? I can't go with you into there. And your spouse can't go into surgery with you. You've got your doctors and nurses there. But your friends or your pastor or your relatives, but you are not alone. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you're not alone. You face surgery. You face difficulty or trouble. You are not alone. God is ever present with you. Now, in your trials, in your trouble, I should say, according to this text, in your trouble, you're facing your trouble maybe today. You're thinking about areas of struggle. You're not alone. You have God within. And that's the foundation for this protection and strength in the rest of this. Rest of this avenue, it's a wonderful truth reminder for us. Let me conclude by just mentioning some action steps really fast for you and then a quick illustration to remind you of this reality. Be sure you have a relationship with God. This is the key foundation for this. This is addressed to people that obviously have a relationship with God. If I can say secondly, allow troubles in your life to deepen that relationship. That's what this verse is about as well. And then finally, and I'm moving quickly, act on the promise of his protection and power. So you know these truths, right? You read this psalm, you know, it's familiar. You've memorized it, many of you. But are you living in the light of the fact that God is our protection? He's our strength. He's always with us. You know, it's one thing to know the truth as a Christian. We're educated in Scripture beyond our obedience, frankly, often. But it's another thing to live in the light of this truth in the midst of the troubles you're facing, the trouble you're dealing with today. How does this apply to you? How can you make this happen? Act on that promise of that protection, right? I need to conclude, but I wanted to just mention Gladys Aylworth. Do you remember this name? Missionary to China in the early part of the previous century. So she goes way back. She was a missionary who served. It was an old school approach to missions, because in the 30s and the 40s, if you went on a missions effort, you basically packed your bags and you lived there for the rest of your missionary service. You weren't coming home. And so she packed all of her stuff. She actually took a rail trip across Siberia down into China to Yangcheng, China, where she served for, 30, 40 years. Dedicated, committed woman. We might not agree with all of her theology, but you know what? She was interested in reaching the Chinese with the gospel. She had an orphanage with about 100 kids. And then trouble came with the Second World War. And she was told, "You better run. You're an American. You gotta get out of here." And she said, "I'm not leaving my children." She had these orphan kids that she was caring for. And the only way to escape the approaching Japanese was to get out of the city and over the mountains. And there, by the way, this is before there were roads over the mountains. There was a trail through a snowy mountain to go to Free China. So they said it couldn't be done. They said that it was really a high-risk adventure. But she packed up those kids. She had a couple teenage helpers. That's it. And 100 children. Some of them have to be carried. And she set out with those children to go over the mountains on a trail over the mountains. And you know what? It was an arduous task. This is not like, you know, over one of the little Catskill mountains. It might be more like up in Adirondack, but it was a series of climbs, and she had all these children with her. And one evening, she was probably at the end of her abilities, and she was ready to call it quits, and she was tearful and discouraged, and she sat down on the side of the trail, and she was wanting to quit. And one of the teenage helpers, whom she had helped to understand the Bible and know truth, said to her, it's classic, she said, you know, Moses led the people through, and God provided for Moses. And she, in her frustration, said, well, I'm not Moses, she said. And the young teenage girl said, yeah, you're not Moses, but God is still God. And on the strength of this young person's reminder, she got up and kept going. And you know what? They made it to Free China, and all of the children survived the trip, made the trip, and God was honored and glorified. You know what? Same God of the Old Testament is our God today, and we can trust Him. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present or very present help in trouble. Let's pray and ask God to help us apply it, all right? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the privilege of looking into Your Word and discovering the promises that are before us with regard to Your protection, Your strength, Your presence. May we live in the light of these truths. In Jesus' name, amen.